All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning. Thank you, God, for being our great God. Lord, we thank you that, yes, you truly do answer prayers. We thank you, Lord, that you answer the prayers of little children and you answer the prayers of your own spiritual children. And Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you, God. We pray that you would give us grace this morning, Lord. I pray that you would give me grace and answer my prayer, Lord, that you would enable me, Lord, to preach your word clearly and profoundly and be able, Lord, to convey your message, Father, to the heart of this people, Lord. Give me grace to feed your flock and be, Lord, that everyone can go home, Lord, with being given some grass in their field, like it says there in Zechariah, Lord. To everyone, growth in their spiritual walk. Father, we look to you in faith, believing, and I trust you, Lord, that you will give what is needed, Lord, to bring your word to bear upon us all. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I'd just like to give a welcome to everyone as well this morning, and welcome to you visitors. I notice there's some here. And what a beautiful day. Amen. After a snowfall, and it was a beautiful little snow that we received the other day. Just seeing the whiteness of the earth once again, and reminder that our sins have been washed and that our hearts have been made whiter than snow. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, well, I know that many of you know that I have been preaching a series of messages, and this is the last one of that series. Okay, a few times I went into other messages. Been preaching a series of messages on parenting. And one of those, I think the first message was the evidence of the presence of God in our homes. The second one was about the marriage team, Aquila and Priscilla. And the third one was being a father and mother to your children, blessing your children, blessing them, bringing a blessing to bear upon them in your words and actions. And then the last message I preached was being gatekeepers, the father and mother being the gatekeepers of their homes. And so this is the final one of those messages, of that series of messages that I desire to share here this morning. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. But before I go into the Word of God here, I'd just like to share my wife, who's here in our midst this morning. I have been tremendously challenged in her with her honor towards her parents. It's been such an example to me as my parents grow older to give them that place of honor as well. My wife's father, two times he went through a tremendous depression. One time there was demonic powers involved, and the last time there was also seemingly that kind of activity in her father's life. The last time he was actually hospitalized and in his mental condition and state. And it was just her example of honor through the years have just been a tremendous blessing to me. As I watched her minister to her father during that time, our hands were somewhat tied at times because of the family situation there, where we could do little but pray. And twice in my wife's and her father's episodes that he went through, twice I saw her travail and intercede in prayer for her dear father. She travailed, she interceded, she pled with God in prayer for her father's condition. And twice I've seen God come through in powerful ways. Today I believe He's saved through her prayers and intercession. I believe the last time He went through the episode that He did, His soul was saved. But in other ways, I see her tremendous care for her father and mother. Her mother is 81 years old. Her father's in his late 70s. And sometimes I wonder if they would, my mother-in-law had a stroke years ago. and is immobilized on her right side. That was some 12, 15 years ago. And her father, like I said, has had his ailments and conditions. And I honestly wonder if they would be here weren't it for her tender, loving care to her parents. There's just been a tender, loving care that I've seen throughout the years with my wife towards her parents. Just an honor to them. Tremendous example, like I said, to me in this area of honor. And that's what I'd like to speak about this morning to you young people and children. I have a message for you this morning. The Bible says, let's read in Ephesians chapter 6 here. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." So here's a commandment to us, to you children and young people who are in homes yet this morning. Here's the command is very clear. It's an Old Testament commandment which the Apostle Paul and Christ, for that matter, brought out in the New Testament very clearly. That we're to be at a place of honor in regards to our parents. Children, youth, are we listening this morning? Honor. Like I said, my wife, as I saw her honor her parents, it was a tremendous example of Christ's heart in it all. The heart of Christ in regards to honor and obedience, but especially in this area of honor. And I know I could go into honoring our parents in regards to us who are outside of our homes. I'm more specifically going to share this morning with you young people and children in regards to honor. Honor and respect and obedience to your parents. It's a very clear word, resounding word here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In Colossians, it brings out Colossians chapter 4, I think it is, if I can find it here. Chapter 3, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." And so here's a very clear message to you children and young people. Obey your parents in all things. All things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Obey your parents in all things. And like I said in Colossians, it says obey your parents. I mean Ephesians. It says obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And here we have a commandment, and I think it goes back to the Ten Commandments. You know, in the Ten Commandments, the words were, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal," and so forth. But with the command in regards to honor and obedience to your parents, there was a promise attached to that. There was a promise given in regards to those who honor and respect and obey their parents. And this is a promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. How many of you want to live long on the earth, young people, children? Amen. Here's a promise. I mean, doesn't necessarily say that it's, you know, that it always happens, but it says that you have a good opportunity, that you might live long on the earth if you obey, if you're in a place of obedience and honor to your parents, to those God has placed over your life. Obedience. I'd like to go into that word a little. Obedience. Here it says, like I said, it says obey. Children, obey your parents in all things. And obedience, I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance. It says to hear under. I thought, am I looking at the right? It doesn't mean to bear under, but it says to hear under. To hear under. In other words, to be at a place of, what I see there is to be at a place of, you know, of you're at a place where you're there's that sense where you're under those who are giving you instructions. You're under them. You're hearing in humility and brokenness those who are giving you direction for your life. To hear under as a subordinate. To listen attentively. To heed or conform to a command or authority. hearken, be obedient to. So obedience is no small thing this morning. I just like to share that. Obedience is no small thing in the sight of God. To you children and young people. It's to be in subjection. To be under. To heed or conform, it says, to a commandment. To heed or conform to a command or authority. In Ephesians it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I know there's times maybe when in this world that we live in where parents actually ask their children to commit sin, to involve themselves in sinful actions, and I think there's a place, you know, when a child can't give himself to that kind of action and activity. But other than that, I see that it is very clear that children are to obey their parents in all things. In all things. Whatever command is given you from your parents, and it's clear here, it's a commandment. It is a commandment of the Lord, which is the first commandment, it says, with promise. It's a commandment of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things. Obey simply means what it says. Obey means to obey. Obey means that we follow through in obedience to the command and the direction that has been given us. That's simply what it means. You know, that path of yieldedness and brokenness I have seen in young people, it is such a joy and a blessing. When I see a young person who is broken and yielded, there's just that fruit of, I don't know how to explain it, but there's just that, I mean, it just brings me tremendous joy as a pastor to see a young person or a child who is broken and yielded in their heart. You know, I've watched through the years, Barb and I have counseled a lot of young people through the years in, you know, Bible school or else or otherwise. And I've watched those young people, even those who come from needy home situations. Sometimes there's a home situation where there's maybe the marriage is at a place where it's divided, or the home's divided, or there's just tremendous need. And I've watched and I've saw young people who are at a place of honor and obedience to their parents. And those who are otherwise, those who take that excuse, those who make excuse, well, my home is a place where, you know, my home is such that there's a lot of need and there's a lot of mom and dad, they don't seemingly get along with each other. And then young people sometimes make excuse and say, okay, I don't, you know, because of the situation, I don't need to be as, you know, my situation is different than some homes. And so I'm going to, you know, so they make the excuse of feeling like they can, you know, somewhat do their own thing and you know, fulfill their own desires. But I've watched young people who are at a place of honor and obedience in those same homes. And many of them are, you know, at a place already of usefulness to the Lord. They're being used of God. God is using them in their youth. Sometimes they go off to service on mission fields and It's been a path that I have watched in regards to young people and how they regard their parents. How they regard those who God has placed over them. An unyielded will now probably means an unyielded will when you get married. When you enter into marriage, into that marriage covenant, an unyielded will now will probably, most likely, produce an unyielded will, as you relate to other authorities that God brings into your life. And I just want to encourage you young people and children this morning, learn those lessons now. Learn them in your youth. Learn them in your childhood. God has other authorities He will bring into your life if you don't learn that lesson now with your parents. He has other authorities He'll bring into your life that you sometimes have to yield to. I've seen young people who are rebellious, who are at a place of just utterly, you know, utterly disregarding their parents' desires and wishes and commandments. Some of them end up in prison at times. Finally, they're at a place where they have to yield. And God forbid that any of us would come to that place, but I just want to bare my heart this morning that we see the need as young people and children in this area of obedience. That we see that it is very important on the heart of God. So important that He attaches a promise to it if it's fulfilled in your life. Young people, children. You know, consider two men who were at a place of disobedience in their youth, or at least in their life with their parents. Cain didn't obey his parents. And look at his end. Esau. Esau, I looked it up yesterday, it says he took a wife, which was a grief to his parents. Took a wife that was a tremendous grief to his parents. And as we know, Esau and his generation became what is known as Edom. The Gentile nations who came against Israel at times and who Israel fought against. And so we see that, you know, the path of disobedience, the path that it can go down and lead to utter sinfulness and destruction and a place where people end up at that they never thought they would. You know, sometimes parents, sometimes young people or children, I've heard them say this, you know, if only my parents weren't as strict maybe, or if only my parents would give me a little bit of allowance here and there. You know, I had to think of Eli and his sons. Eli in the Bible. Let's turn to that scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let me just read that portion, 11 through 14. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." I'll later go into the end of Eli's sons. But young people and children, sometimes you may think, you know, my parents are hard to work with. They don't give any flex, or they, you know, and you feel like they just have you in this box. I believe that's where probably Eli's sons started. You know, I don't believe they started as being vile men, but they started in small ways, resisting their father's desires. Now, Eli had his needs; he didn't restrain them. But their sons and daughters, his sons, probably started at that place, just resisting his wish, Eli's desires and wishes and commands. They started in small ways, and they thought, you know, Dad, he's old school. He's a priest of Israel, and you know, maybe the priests were kind of looked down upon, and so Dad's kind of old school. You know, Dad's at a place. I'm just going to disregard some of this stuff. Some of the stuff that he does just doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like. And of course, Israel was at a place of need in those days as well, and maybe they looked on and saw that. You know, Dad's life, it just seems like, doesn't have much vibrancy in it. He doesn't seem to, the Spirit of God doesn't seem to be actively moving as in his life and ministry. And so they began to make excuse. You know, I can just imagine, you know, we're just going to do our own thing. They started in small ways, and they began to go down a path that led into deep sin. Where they were laying with the women there at the tabernacle. They were there laying with those women and made themselves vile, it says. There they were, in involving themselves and engaging themselves in deep sin. Let's read 2 Samuel 4. I'm sorry, 1 Samuel 4. This was in a battle between the Philistines and Israel. So then the Philistines fought, verse 10, I'm sorry. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled everyone into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. I did miss a verse somewhere. Somewhere it mentions that Eli did share with them. Can't seem to find that verse right now. But there's a verse there in that passage of Scripture that shows us how Eli shared with them. He began to share with them, sons, what you do is not well. What you're doing is not good. And as the Scripture brings out to them, Scripture brings out, it says that they were his words fell on deaf ears. They were too far gone in their sin and debauchery. Too far gone, and thus they continued in that path of sin, going down a path of vileness and uncleanness, till it finally ended up in destruction, till where God slew them. God just said, it's enough. It's enough. These sons of Eli have gone far enough in their disobedience. Far enough in bringing sin and wickedness into Israel. And he slew them. Disobedience is no small thing. It ends up in destruction at times. And I just want to share my heart with you, youth and children. Please, let's take heed to the command of the Lord. Let's take heed to the command of God in this matter of obedience. Let's take heed to the command of the Lord. You know, there's many excuses some make. I've heard them. I've been in ministry. I've heard them. I'm 18. Shouldn't this be a time when I can do my own thing? Many excuses that, children or young people make at times. And I'm just here to tell you the command of the Lord is obey your parents in all things. For this is right. It's a commandment. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Why is obedience sometimes hard? I think there's certain elements of obedience that sometimes are difficult, especially for young people. Sometimes their peers get in the way where, they feel like, they want to be able to do what their peers are doing. Or a wrong influence in their lives. I want to just say, the fear of man brings a snare, the Bible says. The fear of man brings a snare. Don't allow yourselves, young people, to be sucked into that snare. The fear of man brings a snare. If you are in a place of saying, well, I'm not going to give myself the full obedience to my parents because, well, it's just too hard. It's just too difficult. I want to be able to give myself to my desires and what my peers might think. The fear of man brings a snare. There was a young man who I went to school with. A young man, he was a few grades ahead of me. And he was the biggest mocker that I've ever seen in a child. I mean, he mocked my school teacher to no end. I still remember after school, after he got finished with school there, of course the Amish only have 8 grades, and on rainy days, often the parents themselves come to pick up their young people, their children, or they'll send an older brother or sister to pick up their young children. Anyway, this one rainy day, the teacher was a little late in leaving out the class. And I still remember very clearly, his name was Steve. I still remember outside in his buggy, his carriage, he began to shout out obscenities, cursing the teacher basically, just vile things pouring out from his lips. I kind of lost track of the young person after I got out of school. I was about 2 grades behind him, 3 grades I think it was. But shortly after I was out of school, they were building a house there at his home farm, and he fell. He fell down the open hole that they had built to build a staircase, and he fell down and somehow tremendously hit his head on the concrete floor, and was killed. And later on, the news came around that this young man was excommunicated. He was at a place of disobedience with his parents. That's the way he died. He died in that state. It was just a tremendous, it's a tremendous mark that I still hold in my heart in regards to obedience. A child who I watched grow up, I was in school with. He was in fourth grade when I was in first, but his life ended in his teenage years, in the bloom of his youth. That's the path of disobedience that this young man chose to go down. And I believe God may very well have taken him. Because of his sinful state, I don't know, but I would just want to encourage you young people and children this morning, you know, as you consider obedience, where are we at? You know, when Dad says, I'll share with you young people, first of all. When Dad says, can you be home by 10 o'clock tonight? And you come home at 11, 12. Is that obedience? Is that obedience? You know, when Dad says, Dad gives you clear direction and you push the line, you push the limits. And we'll get into honor in a little bit here. That kind of, honor kind of encapsulates what I want to share in that regards of pushing the limits. But just encouraging us this morning. The last number of years, the last 5 years, I would say, I counted the other day, there's about 5 young people that passed into eternity. From our circles, who were in a questionable place in regards to their salvation. Most of those young people had problems with, in regards to parental authority or some kind of authority that God had placed into their lives. I'm not here to judge where they're at today, but just a warning to us. This is a very clear commandment of the Lord. In fact, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and I know we're in the New Testament, in the age of grace, but in the Old Testament, when there was a rebellious son, I'm not sure it did, probably the daughter likewise, but when there was a rebellious son, after a place of disobedience and eventually rebellion, he took him. The parents would take him to the elders of Israel there. And through his rebellion and disobedience, they actually took him outside of the city and stoned him. So we see the severity of disobedience, the severity of rebellion. It's a very severe sin, a very serious matter. Okay, I'd like to go on to honor. Honor in Scripture. Honor in Scripture means to prize, to fix evaluation upon, revere. You know, the Bible says to highly esteem those that labor among you. And I think Timothy's basically bringing out about elders, but I think it could be applied to children in regards to their parents. Your father and mother, they labor among you. Dad goes out to provide for the family daily. There he is, providing for his home. Mother is washing the clothes, feeding the family, making sure they have clothes and food and on the table and just taking care of the needs of the household day by day. There she is. Your parents are laboring among you. They're laboring. Scripture says we're to highly esteem those that labor among us. Highly esteem those that labor among us. I just want to say, I believe honor is a little bit different. It's a little bit of a different word than obedience. It has should I say, honor is a word of tremendous reverence, or a giving of tremendous reverence and respect and value upon someone. Like the Bible says, to honor the king, you know, to place value upon. We're to honor God. We're to honor God, and we all know that that means to worship Him, to revere Him, to give Him value, to give Him worth, to highly esteem Him. And that's what God is calling us, you children, to in regards to your parents, to honor them. Honor thy father and thy mother, to place tremendous value and worth upon. You may think this morning they're the most upside down parents in the world. God still calls you to honor them, children, young people. You may feel like your parents have tremendous need. God still calls you to honor them. He doesn't say, the Scripture doesn't say, well, honor thy father and mother unless. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say honor thy father and mother unless they're imperfect. You know, honor them unless they, honor them until they get to this place in their parenting. It doesn't say that. It just simply says, honor thy father and thy mother. Yes, He has commands for the fathers to provoke not their children to wrath, but we need to let that whip between God and the fathers. You children and young people are called to a place of honor before the Lord with your parents. Honor, I believe, has a good deal to do with trust. You know, I was thinking of that today. Last night as I was preparing, I was thinking of trust. You know, we at times don't understand the sovereignty of God. You know, the suffering of this world, and God takes a father home of the father of a family of 10 children, takes a child out of a family. You know, there's many things in life we don't exactly understand why God does the things He does. We don't understand, and we know even with trials and tribulations, you know, why does God allow this tribulation in my life? Why does God allow this continued trial or this continued sickness? And we don't always sometimes some people question God because of all of that. But God called, we all know in the spiritual sense that God calls us to a place of trust. Trusting His sovereignty. Trusting His omnipotence. Trusting that He is an all-knowing, all-wise God, irregardless of all the things that take place in the world that sometimes seem unfair. And I believe that's a good deal of what it means to trust our parents. You know, we're called to trust the judgment. You children and young people, you're called to trust the judgment of your parents. You may not always understand. You may not always understand why they're asking you to do the things they do, or withholding the things that you'd like to do. You may be at a place of, you know, why do I have, you know, I mean, Dad, he just seems so old school. He seems so, you know, it just seems like if only he could see the things that I see. I just don't understand my parents. God doesn't call you to understand. Again, He calls you to obedience and honor. He calls you to that place of honor, trusting your parents' judgment, trusting that God is working. This is the parents that God has given me. These are the set of parents that God has given me. And thus, I need to trust their judgment, their direction, what is being given to me through them. I believe just like we're called to honor the Lord without understanding everything, so we're called to honor our parents without understanding all things. You know, my mother, I've been blessed with her, my own dear mother. I'd just like to honor her at this time. You know, I've been blessed. She left the Amish about, 20, 30 years ago. And a few years ago, she desired to get a vehicle. My dad's still Amish, my mother's not. She desired to get a vehicle, be able to drive herself. And she asked me about it, and I'm not sure of the counsel I gave her anymore, but And I was really hoping she wouldn't, if Dad would give her direction of, you know, in his heart to desire that she wouldn't, and which I almost knew that's the direction he'd give. And I was just so blessed. You know, my mother, she took that direction from her husband. I'm sure she doesn't clearly understand, you know, why doesn't Dad, I'm not Amish anymore. Why can't I drive a vehicle? Why doesn't he allow me to drive my own vehicle and get around? And to this day, she still gets drivers to take her all across the country, including myself. So that has been a tremendous blessing to me to see her honor her husband. Just honor him, despite maybe not understanding all the reasons why. She honored him. I don't think she looked at him. I don't think she even chafed under him. I don't think she looked at her husband as saying, you know, I mean, Eli, you're so strict and so, why can't you give some? Why can't you flex a little? I don't think she looked at him that way. I think there was a cheerful obedience on her part, a cheerful honoring of her husband's desire. And that's what I'd like to bring it down to you young people and children. Honor, I believe, has a lot to do with cheerful obedience. Cheerful obedience. Delighting to do the will and desire and heart of your parents. Delighting to do their will. Delighting to fulfill their desires. You know, you prize them. You esteem them to that degree. You honor their decisions for your life. You even desire, in your heart, there's a desire to please them in things that you're not even asked to. That's honor. That's simply honor. You know, as you lift up your parents, you desire to please them. You desire to bring pleasure to their heart. That's honor. You desire to put a smile on Dad's face. You desire to put a spring in your mother's step because of your honor. Because you're in your heart, you're honoring them. And it's bringing much pleasure to your parents. You know, I watched a video recently on a family, and the parents were, the young girl there was about 16, and she was at a place of, you know, where some teenagers just kind of feel like they need to do their own thing. They desire to do their own, fulfill their own wishes. They desire to, you know, they feel like Dad is keeps them hemmed in a little bit too close. And I watched this video, and I was just so blessed. You know, the dad was there weeping as his daughter shared these words. She shared with her dad, "Dad, you have my heart until the day that a young man comes along into my life. You have my heart." And it was just a beautiful exchange there of words and gestures, and the dad was just so deeply touched. Even while they were acting this out, This was a tremendous, you know, it brought tremendous weeping into his heart as he heard those words from his own daughter. Tremendous joy that it brought to his heart, I'm sure. Honor your parents. Honor thy father and mother. First commandment with promise. And I believe there's tremendous safety in it. Tremendous safety. Just recently I heard a young person say, you know, I asked her, I said, what do you see? This is a young person who is, who's obeying and at a place of honor with her parents. I just asked her, I said, what do you see the benefits in your life? And she began to mention, just go through the blessings one after another of how this honor and obedience is blessing her life. I just said, how is the scripture being fulfilled where it says, it shall be well with thee? And she went down through the list of just sharing from her heart how that it has been well with her, how the blessings of God have been upon her. So let's remember the importance of all of this, children, young people. I'd like to yet go into Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35. I think I'll just read this portion of Scripture here from verses 1 through 11. This was in the day of Jeremiah the prophet, verse 1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go into the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalem, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, Drink ye wine. But they said, We will not drink, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he has charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, and our daughters. Nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came into the land, that we said, Come and let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. I'd just like to bring out this morning, you know, as we consider the house of the Rechabites, Rechab, their father, had given his sons and daughters a commandment, very clear command, that they were to drink no wine, and there's other commands here, they were not to sow seed nor plant vineyard, very clear commandments. And even these commands were being carried out in the next generation, I believe, of the what it says, their wives were following this command. So it wasn't just the children, it wasn't just the children and young people in Rechab's own home, but it was being followed through the generations. But I'd like to especially young people and children apply this to your homes. Here was a situation where Rechab was giving a clear command of the Lord, a clear command from his heart, I should say. He was giving a clear command that they were not to drink wine. And I'm not sure if in those days how wine was looked upon exactly, but I'd like to look at that as a matter of sin. You know, in Proverbs it says, you're not to look upon the wine when it is red. I won't go there. I want to go there just to help us to see one passage of Scripture there in Proverbs 23. You don't have to turn there. Here in verse 23, chapter 23, verse 26, it says, My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Children and young people, this is the heart of God. Give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. This is what Solomon is saying. You who are sons and daughters, give your hearts to your parents. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lies in wait as for a prey, and increases the transgressors among men. Then it says, Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? And so on. Then it says, They that tarry long at the wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. So here in the book of Proverbs, after the command of giving, after the commandment to sons to give their hearts to their fathers, he gives a clear illustration of how the son's heart is kept as it's given to the Father. It's kept from being in a place of involving itself in immorality, in immoral situations, the immoral women. But it's also kept in regards to youth, what many struggle with in their youth, of alcohol and drinking of alcoholic beverages. And here I believe that, you know, let's apply this to sin, that Rechab was giving a very clear commandment to his sons that they were not to drink wine, because he saw, perhaps he knew what was in the book of Proverbs. He had seen and read about, you know, about God's heart in regards to strong drink. So he gave this command. They were to drink no wine. But also he gave them further commandments. It says, neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. But first of all, young people and children, are you keeping yourself from sin? When your parents give you a commandment, when they give you a clear directive in regards to sin, this world, sinful situations that they give you clear direction in, so that you're not ensnared by this present evil world or by the enemy's pitfalls and traps that he has set for you. Your parents are giving you so that you can steer around those things, so you can keep clear, just like these sons of Rechab did. They steer clear of the drinking of alcoholic beverages. They steer clear of the lusts of this world. That's what God has given you parents for. He knows that youth struggle. The Bible says, one place it says, flee from youthful lusts. Youth have lusts that sometimes the older generation no longer struggles with to that degree. And so Paul says to Timothy, flee youthful lusts. And parents are given us to flee, to be able to escape those traps, to escape those things that the enemy has set for you. The enemy is set to destroy your life in your youth. He has his eyes upon you, sister, brother, child. He has his eyes upon you. The Bible says he goes to and fro over the whole earth, seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking you out. He's seeking to see if he can take your soul, grab your heart away from your parents. And yes, okay, now I have the heart away from the parents. Now I can begin to entice them into these sinful lusts. And young people go down a path of tremendous destruction. Some of them get converted, praise the Lord. Some of them keep going on that path till the day they die, whether they die young or old. They stay on that path. Many of those same young people, if only they would have heeded, if only there would have been a heeding to their parents, the desire of their parents, they could have avoided that very pitfall. They could have avoided that path that Satan took him down. Satan took him by the hand once he had him. Once he had him out of his parents' control, in essence, he just took him by the hand. Away he went with him. It happens, young people, children. But here's a very clear directive. Here's a very clear example of sons that obeyed their father. They obeyed their father, Rechab. They were in a place of honor with him. And they obeyed him in regards to matters of sin. They were at a place of giving themselves to his heart. You know, it goes on. It's just not. It doesn't stop at the drinking of wine. It says, neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. You know, people, I'd like to say this morning, God has given you parents. God has given you parents. You know, sometimes you may not understand why your parents give you the direction they do. You may say in your heart, they're strict. Why do they give me the direction? This is not a matter of sin. This is a matter of preference. This is what they desire of me. And why can't I do it like another family or but another individual? You know, the Scripture here, I believe, is very applicable. It says that they were given the command not to build houses. What's wrong with building houses? What's wrong with sowing seed? What's wrong with planting vineyards? What's wrong with those things? The only thing that was wrong is that Rechab had given them a clear command. There's nothing necessarily wrong with, we all know, I don't think there, maybe there would have been nothing sinful in itself of a vineyard being planted. But this was the heart of Rechab. This was the heart of Rechab with his children. This is where he wanted to take his children. This was his heart. And these Rechabites, these sons and daughters of his, they were at a place of obedience, even in matters that did not regard, that had nothing to do necessarily with sin. And that's the heart of God. You know, as you young people, children, as you look on, sometimes you might see families doing things differently than another family. You might think in your heart, why can't I do this thing? Why can't I do this thing? Well, let's follow the example of Rechab, the Rechabites. Rechab gave his children clear direction in regards to matters that were not even necessarily sinful. But they knew the command of the Lord. His sons and daughters knew the command of the Lord. Honor thy father. Obey your parents in all things. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. They knew that should we deviate from following the commandment of the Lord, we will be in sin. Despite the things not necessarily being sinful. So I just want to say this morning, and another thing I'd like to say is, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Realize, children and young people, it's not wise to compare yourself with another family, with another individual. Say, well, I need to be able to do it because my best friend is able to do it. Come on, Dad. Come on, Mom. You need to loosen up or you need to... No. This is God's heart. I mean, this is your parents' heart for your family, for their family. They have that right. Just like Rechab had that right. So let's remember this place of honor in regards to things that our parents desire. Like I said earlier, honor, I believe, is a place of trust, despite not necessarily understanding everything. That's the heart of God, is that you're at a place of trust and honor. Even in things that you don't totally understand why your parents are asking this of you. Look at the next verses there. I love this. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he has charged us. All that he has charged us. That's their testimony. They followed through in obedience and honor to all that was charged them. By Rechab, or by Jonadab, the next generation there. We have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he has charged us to drink no wine all our days. We, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters. Nor to build houses, his preference is also, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyards, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and again, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father has commanded us. Oh. They followed through in complete obedience, the whole scope, in regards to sin, in regards to their father's preferences. All of that was followed through by these sons of Rechab, sons of Jonadab, which was the son of Rechab. So I just want to say to you, young people and children, your parents being under your parents' authority, being under your parents' being in subjection to your parents is a safe place. It's a place of security. It's a place of tremendous safety from this present evil world. It's a place where your parents can guide you into the ways of the Lord, into His path of righteousness, into a life of godliness and holiness, into a fruitful Christian life. Let's do away with those things, that those negative comments maybe that sometimes come from others. Your dad should loosen up a little bit, or just this and that. You know, sometimes negative comments. If your heart is with your parents, you're at a safe place when those comments come. But if already you're at a place of questioning your parents, you know, hey, we live in a world. We can't help where we live. It'd be nice if we would live in a world where we wouldn't face negative sentiments coming our way. Children and young people, that'd be nice where we wouldn't have to struggle through that. Those comments may be told you sometime. Dad, just push him aside a little. You know, just do your own thing a little. Your dad, he's just kind of old school. If your heart is with your parents, you're at a safe place. I believe that when you have given your heart to your parents, those comments will fall off of you like water off a duck's back. You know, it'll just fall off of you when those darts of the enemy that he tries to use to bring a wedge between you and your parents. In closing, children and young people, where do we find ourselves at? Where are we at this morning? Is there a place of honor and in your heart in regards to your parents? Is there a full obedience? Is there total obedience? Where are we at? Let's examine our own hearts. Is there an honor of your parents' desires and wishes? Or is there a constant chafing? Is there a constant chafing, murmuring and complaining, making of excuses, is there a deep love in your heart for your parents? Is there a deep reverence, a deep respect? These are the parents God has given you. You can't help it. I can't help it. We can't help. God has given them to us. And His first commandment is to obey. The first commandment with promise is to obey your parents in all things and honor thy father and thy mother. So the commandment of the Lord is clear. What else can we say this morning? It's a commandment with promise that it may be well with you. Praise God. That it may be well with you, children, and that you might have the opportunity to live long on the earth. I still remember Brother Denny. He shared a few times, he questioned older people out who were in their 80s and 90s. How was your relationship with your parents? Almost invariably, he said he found that they had a good relationship with their parents, even despite maybe not being Christians for that matter. There was a background of a good relationship with their own parents. So let's take this to heart this morning as we consider our own parents that God has given us. It's no small thing to walk down a road of disobedience. It's no small thing to dishonor them and disregard them. It's no small thing to just begin to kind of push them aside. Satan is out to kill and to steal and destroy whomever he can. We're only safe as we're in the will of God. But praise the Lord for those who are walking in that vein of obedience and honor. The promise is it will be well with you and you might have the opportunity to live long on the earth. God bless you.
Thank you, Mel, for sharing with us. As you shared your story, knowing this young man you grew up with, I thought of a young boy that I knew from grade school. I think I was probably 8. And he was a bad boy. He didn't listen to his teachers, my class. He didn't listen to his parents. And he didn't obey. And it was deeply impressed on my heart. Somehow, I don't know if my parents talked to me about it or what, he was found dead. He was found drowned in a pool at Fairmount Park in Philadelphia. Kind of a dangerous little pool where it had a little waterfall and it was deep pool underneath it. He was found floating dead there when we were 8 years old. He was in my class. And somehow that just was impressed on me. I wonder how many in this room would know of something like that, would know people that in your short life that you have seen. How many of you would know someone who reached an untimely death or had a tragedy who was a very disobedient person? Raise your hand. That's a lot of people. God's word is true. What's the greatest struggle that we have as Christians? Is it not with yielding our will to God? That's my greatest struggle. Let's do our children a great favor and teach them how to do that when they're little. You know, when your children are 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's the time to teach them to obey. It's a lot harder when you're 15. I don't know how many times my wife and I have talked about that. As we trained a young child, 6-year-old, let's say, just said among ourselves, we're saving them. We know 15-year-olds who do the same thing, or 20-year-olds. We're doing them a favor. We're saving them from that struggle. And if we can help our children to learn how to yield their will at a young age, we're preparing them to go far in the Christian life. And one of the mistakes I think we make is that we treat the training of our children from the aspect of they're a bother, they're annoying me, so I'm going to discipline them now. They need to obey me. Instead of from the aspect of I want their life to be blessed. And so I am going to help them to learn this principle, this truth, for their good and for God's glory. Just had a couple other thoughts. The children of Jonadab didn't just call him Jonadab. They call him Jonadab, the son of Rechab. That's the way they knew him. He's not Jonadab, he's Jonadab, the son of Rechab. In other words, Jonadab, that was his identity. I'm a son of Rechab. I am obedient to Rechab. I'm connected to Rechab. And usually people don't talk that way, do they? In the Bible, even in the Bible days, that's not totally common. One of the greatest things we can do to teach our children is to honor our parents. However we can do that. And the other thing that I thought of, we cannot expect our children to honor us if we do not honor each other. Fathers, husbands, we have to teach our children to honor our wife by honoring her herself. And wives, if you do not honor your husband, you are actually putting a stumbling block in front of your children, an opportunity for them to learn dishonor. So that's not a light thing. So the Lord help us to embrace honor. Maybe somebody else has a testimony, a thought. Raise your hand if you do. There's one here. Maybe God spoke to you today and convicted you. You want to share what God spoke to you? Do you want to confess some dishonor?
There was a lot of things going through my mind during the message here, and just as you were sharing too, Brother Paul. I feel like I've learned the hard way a lot of times. And I see in looking back that actually I believe a rebellious spirit is actually a spirit that can, that the devil kind of identifies with, because he's of that same spirit. And so I think that, you know, when he is going about seeking whom he may devour, if he can find someone that is of the same spirit as he is, I think he kind of connects with that and starts working. And that's been my experience, but I'm so thankful for the blood of Christ and his delivering power that has set me free from that. But I remember, you know, growing up that I would, sometimes I would do things kind of without asking my parents. You know, I kind of didn't want to ask them because I thought they probably wouldn't let me do it, so I would just do it without asking. And a lot of times that got me into trouble. And of course, now as I grew older, my dad would, and after I was a Christian, he would allow me, you know, more freedoms, or kind of allow me to make some choices. If there was something that I asked him, you know, what do you think? What should I do here? He would say, well, I guess that's kind of up to you. And so I would have to, you know, now I was actually wanting him to have some input in my life. And it kind of turned around where I was actually wanting his advice and his what he thinks I should do.
Amen.
And if he didn't give it, you know, I was kind of left there, you know, to figure it out on my own. Well, you know, pray about it and see what God wants. But yeah, it was amazing how that turned around where I was actually wanting his input. And so I'm also thinking about the example of our parents in honoring their parents. That's something that really stuck in my mind. I still remember it, you know. I remember a time when there was something that our family was going to do as a family, and my grandparents, even though the thing that we were going to do was not wrong, my grandparents didn't approve of it. They didn't want it. They just, they didn't feel it was a good thing at that time. And my parents, my dad decided if they don't want that, then we're going to honor that and we're not going to do it. And so it was, I remember feeling at that time, I was not a Christian. I remember feeling, why? I mean, like, why does dad have to honor his dad like that? But it really left an impression on me. And especially looking back now, I can see that he honored his parents, even when it wasn't a sin matter. So, yeah, thank you so much for the message.
Praise God for that example. You know, the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You said you talked about it opened something up, a door for the devil. When someone's involved in witchcraft, satanic evil comes into their life, right? It says that rebellion is as that sin. Rodney.
Yeah, I had to think while Mel was sharing that, you know, as young people, it's easy to sort of make decisions and choices based on the here and the now. And we only look as far as ourselves. How does this affect me? This is something I want to do type of thing, or something I want to be. But I think it's important that we look down the road to the next generation. If I become this person, how will this affect my children? Because, I mean, you're not just making a choice for yourself. You are, you know, making a choice that will affect hundreds of people later on. You know, if you go, you know, down a wrong path, your children will have less of a chance of knowing God, and their children will have less of a chance. And I've seen it in people who were my friends as I was a teenager make those choices. And now to see their children, I mean, there's no resemblance of, you know, holiness or Christianity at all in their lives. And I think, okay, maybe my friend will be okay. Maybe he'll scrape by, but his children? I mean, they're growing up basically in a completely worldly setting. What about their children? You know, we condemn hundreds of people to maybe a Christless eternity based on what I want today. And I think it's so critical that we don't just look at ourselves, but at the hundreds of people who will come after us, that, you know, what decision are we making for them today?
Wow, that's deep. That's good.
I was thinking that I have a testimony I wanted to share with the young people while Mel was giving the message. And after, I started getting very nervous when it was time for testimony, and I usually will not raise my hand or stand up because I'm not very confident in the way I can deliver what's on my heart. But seeing how I was that nervous, I thought, this is something that I think the youth need to hear, and I really want to do that, and I don't want Satan to steal that. So I'm just going to give a quick testimony here on my relationship with my father. I did not grow up in a Christian home, but I feared my father because he was an angry man. He didn't walk around angry all the time, but when he was under stress, he always fell back on anger. So I obeyed my father growing up. But then around the age of 28, I got born again, and I knew my relationship with my father was not right. And my father, I looked up to my father when I was small. I mean, he went bowling every Monday night my whole life. That's all I remembered. Dad bowled on Monday night. And I could not wait till I was 18 years old that I can bowl with my father. I loved him, and but I did not honor him when I was growing up. I obeyed, but I did not honor him. So anyway, he also was a drinker, and one night I did finally turn 18, and I bowled with my father for like 2 or 3 years. And one night after Lisa and I had gotten married, and there was a bowling banquet, my father was drinking, and he was yelling during this banquet, and I was so embarrassed and ashamed of my father. And anyway, I left that banquet early because I was just so embarrassed. And my father went out that evening. I think he left there about 11 at night, and he was driving home, and he was drunk, and he smashed into a telephone pole. And the car burst into flames. And miraculously, a young man driving by stopped and pulled him out of the car and saved his life. God gave him another 10 years. Okay, during this time here, I became a Christian, and now I want to restore my relationship with my father. And we had bought a house in Connecticut, and my father was a land surveyor. And so I wanted to ask my father to help me find the property lines and to work with him, alongside of him, to rebuild this relationship. And it was in the winter time when we were going to do that, and because he was in that accident, his whole head was, you know, he was burnt. He was in the hospital for 3 months. His whole head was just burned off. He had no hair, and it was very sensitive to the cold. And so my father said, well, let's just wait until the spring, and then we'll do this property. And so I was really looking forward to this so much. Well, February 1st, my father had a massive heart attack and died. And I never had that opportunity to honor my father in a way that would be pleasing to God. And so I just wanted to encourage the youth, if you're in a place that maybe you obey your dad, but it's not from the heart, you're not honoring him, don't wait for a time. You know, maybe someday I'll do that. Maybe down the road a little bit when I get older or whatever, settle down. You may not have an opportunity. And I really missed out on that opportunity, and it's a regret that I have. So just if you know that you do not have a right relationship with your parents, don't wait. Just take care of it now. What's it going to cost you? Anyway, I hope you can use that.
Amen. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, I also really appreciated the message and also the testimonies. And I was one of those young people whose heart was turned away from my parents at a young age. And I can testify to the fact that it opens up a lot of other doors that a person would not be thinking about when that happens. And I just also want to plead with young people to consider it seriously and to realize that God has put your parents there for your safety and protection, and God can help you work through those things that may be confusing and difficult if you'll let him do that.
Amen. Okay, we have one up here and one in the back.
Yeah, just a encouragement to the fathers. Something that I have seen, Brother Paul mentioned the aspect of honoring each other. Another thing that I've seen is when there is a lack of honor to other authorities as well, the church or the government, employer, whatever, it results in disobedience and a lack of honor to the parents when there is that. So we also have a responsibility not just to teach our children honor, but to be in that place where we're honoring our authorities.
Amen. That's true. True leadership is being what we want our followers to be.
I think we're talking about a subject here that has tremendous potential. I guess for myself, my rebellious days, I actually thought I was more spiritual than my parents. That's just as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than some of these other paths that were talked about this morning. And I guess today I am amazed as I look at it and marvel at what blessing God intends to bring into our lives. The potential for tremendous growth in faith when I can believe that God's going to speak through my father. I put aside those things that I thought were so bad that, you know, God would never tell my father what God wants me to do in my life. But as I took that away, I realized I'm putting my faith in God grew tremendously as I dared to expect God to direct me through my father. And again, I guess as the years go by, I just marvel at the amount of protection that God has specifically put in place for us. I don't know. It's one of those things I think I end up saying, this is a great mystery to me. I don't know how to explain the logic behind it, but God has done something for us in bringing us into a place of protection with our parents. Not speaking of perfection for our parents, but God put us there for our protection. The other thing, I was really blessed with this portion regarding the Rechabites. I think I'd like to learn something from Jonadab. Somehow, he conveyed a message of importance to his children in the goals. The one comment that he made there was, so that we may be strangers in the land wherein we dwell. I wonder what goals and desires. Somehow he did something that planted those goals and desires really deep. And it stayed for generations. I want to learn something about that.
Amen.
Yeah, I also really appreciated the message. I count this thing as a dad, something that I often fear and tremble with the responsibility, and it's different times I've just told my young people that I really desire their prayers on my behalf, that they can ask God to help direct me, that I can give proper direction, that it's easy to honor me and easy to follow my direction, because I don't want to just be going off on my own tangents, but I really, really desire the prayers of my young people and my wife, that God gives, that I can hear properly from God. I am also with Brother George on the aspect of my dad's not living either anymore. He passed away when I was 18 years old, and I didn't have a good relationship with him. But I was glad for the small amends that we were able to make before he passed away, even though I wasn't born again at the time. But one thing that I do desire is to have a better relationship with my father-in-law, and just to walk that out and to know how it is to honor him and to respect him when there is a strained relationship. And so, and I just desire to break that cycle of not good relationships. And so, and so I often count myself as a unworthy servant in this particular responsibility that's been given me, but the grace of God has been more than enough, and I am really blessed with the relationship that I do have with my children, and I don't desire for it to stop here, but to continue to move forward in courage when, even though it seems sometimes it would be easier to shrink back and just be quiet, but when the Lord prompts me to give direction in a particular area, that I can count on it, that it is from the Lord, because there's those that are following me are praying for me. And it's also been a blessing for me in the last number of years as I was finding my way with how I view authority around me, and so of learning to honor my elders here at church, and just a blessing that that's brought into my life, and more peace. And so, and I just I'm blessed with what God's doing. I'm eager to see what He has for the future. God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you too.
I was just thinking about the loss of the generations and how many of the young people, maybe it's hard for them to see so far in the future for their own children and their grandchildren, but it doesn't seem like all that long ago when I was that young, and now I have children and I have those grandchildren. And but then we have these promises here at the end of Jeremiah 35, the last two verses I just wanted to share. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Because you have obeyed the commandments of Israel, of Jonadab your father, and kept all of his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever.
Praise God. Wouldn't we want that for our families? That we would not lack a man to stand before God forever.
Yes, I just want to praise the Lord. I find it a great joy to serve my mom and dad. I know that they served me for years. And I just wanted to encourage the young people and the children that, you know, when mom asks you to wash the dishes now, maybe you think you want to play a little longer. But as you honor them and stop your play and you go wash the dishes cheerfully, you are practicing something that you will never be sorry for in the future. I can say that I go to my mom and dad once a week. I'm usually there pretty much for the day. I have a lot of things I could be doing otherwise. I could be at home getting a lot of my other big goals accomplished. But I feel like I can honor my mom and dad now that their steps are a little more feeble. They still love life, but they're a little more feeble. And the things that I can do very quickly just take some miles down the road, just coming in the door with a big, huge smile. Hi, Mom and Dad. Hey, I'm here for the day. What's going on and what can I do for you? And I clean and I, oh, my dad might say, oh, we're out of bread. Hey, no problem. I'll run to the store. What else do you need? And it's just those little things that to them, it's just like, it just makes their life so easy. And sometimes just giving them something to look forward to besides, you know, kind of being a little lonely. They don't get too much company. And just sometimes saying that we're going to take you out to breakfast on Thursday morning. Then they have like 4 days to look forward to that. That's a blessing to them. And that keeps them sort of young. And so I just wanted to encourage, not that I did everything perfect when I was growing up, but I think as you children and young people look for opportunities to bless your mom and dad now, when their steps grow slow, you will be equipped because you've been practicing it for a long time.
One over here.
Yeah, I guess this message has just, you know, brought me back in my life too. And I was, I guess, one of those not really outwardly rebellious, but I just did things that I knew my parents wouldn't appreciate, and you know, did things like Abner said without asking, or because I, you know, afraid they wouldn't say yes or whatever else. And yeah, I can see how that has carried over, as Mel said, into the rest of my life, into my marriage. You know, sometimes, yeah, I just don't necessarily want my husband to know what I'm thinking or doing or whatever it is. And I can see how that has hindered our children in different ways. And I still struggle with that, and I want to repent of it. Another thing about, I guess, not asking for a lot of advice sometimes. My father died a number of months after we were married, and there are many times I wish that he were back. But he was a quiet man, but he had a lot of wisdom, and I now wish that I could have maybe talked to him more about things while he was still living. There's just a lot of wisdom that I think that I could have gotten from him. So.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing. Okay, we'll have one more.
I was thinking about this message this morning, and I wanted to make a challenge to everybody here that not just to the children, but to everyone, that the way we honor our authorities indicates the way we're able to honor God. John said, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. I think we could truthfully change a few words in this verse and it would apply just as to honor. If someone says, I honor and obey God, but dishonors and disobeys his authorities, he is a liar. For one who does not honor and obey his authorities whom he has seen cannot honor and obey God whom he has not seen. That's a challenge for me, and I think it's a challenge to, can be a challenge to all of us, whatever our age is, that it's easy for us to think in our minds, well, yes, I really am honoring God, But when it comes down to practicing honoring our authorities, it's easy to decide, I know better. And that's not honor.
That's a good point. Thank you for that. Amen. I didn't hear anybody share today how they wish they would have just dishonored a little bit more when they were younger. But I heard a lot. We heard a lot of people say the opposite. Why don't we have a prayer together? Let's bow our heads. God, we just bow before You and Your Word today. We thank You for Your Word. We believe Your Word. We thank You for giving it to us. We thank You for the desire in Your heart to bless us. And that all Your commands were given with that desire. Not to hinder us, not to stifle us, not to hold us under, keep us back, make us miserable. Thank You, Lord, that Your commands are not grievous, but they are for our good. We ask You, Father, that You would, by Your Spirit, convict each one of us where we need to be convicted. Help each one of us to change whatever we need to change. Help us to go forth from here, Lord, with renewed vision to honor You, to honor each other, to have honor be something significant in our lives, that You get the glory. That this world that's full of dishonor, full of selfishness, full of mocking and rebellion, could have a testimony of Your church being those who are honoring people. Help us, Lord, to honor our neighbors. We pray that this word would be protected by You, Lord. We pray that You would just bring it to our remembrance as the days go by. And that it would really change us. Change me, Lord. I want to learn and grow in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.